ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय जन्माद्यस्य यतोऽन्वया द्विदरदश्चार्तेष्वभिज्ञस्वराल् तेने ब्रह्महृदया आदिकवये मुह्यन्दियल् सूरयाः तेजोवारिमृदम् यथा विनिमयो यत्र त्रिसर्गो मृषाधाम्ना स्वेन सदा निरस्तकुहकम् सत्यम् परम् धीमहि धर्मप्रोजितकैदवोऽत्र परमो निर्मल्सराणम् सताम् वेद्यम् वास्तवमत्र वस्तुशिवदम् तापत्रयोन्मूलनम् श्रीमल्भागवते महामुनिकृते किं वा परै ईश्वरः सद्यो हृद्यमरुद्यतेऽत्र कृतिभिः शुश्रूषुभिः तल्क्षणाल् निगमगल्पतरोर्गलितम् फलम् शुकमुखादमृदम् द्रवसंयुतम् पिबद भागवतम् रसमालयम् मुहुरहो रसिका भुवि भावुकाः सच्चिदानन्दरूपायम् विश्वोत्पत्यादिहेतवे तापत्रयविनाशाय श्रीकृष्णाय वयम् नुमाम् यम् प्रव्रजन्तम् अनुपेतमपेदकृत्यम् द्वैपायनो विरहकातरम् आजुहाव पुत्रेति तन्मयदयत्तरमोऽभिनेतु तम् सर्वभूतहृदयम् मुनिम् आनतोऽस्मि यस्वानुभावम् अखिलश्रुतिसारमेकम् अध्यात्मदीपम् अतिथितीर्षदाम् तमोऽहम् संसारिणाम् करुणयाः पुराणगुह्यम् तम् व्याससूनम् उपयामि गुरुम् मुनीनाम् नारायणम् नमस्कृत्य नरम् चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीम् सरस्वतीम् व्यासम् ततो जयम् उदीरयेल् कमनीयकिशोरमुग्धमूर्ते कलवेणुकुणितादृदाननिन्दोः मम वाचि विजृम्भदम् मुरारे मधुरिम् न कनिकापि कापि कापि निःशेषात्मानमेनम् गुरुपवनपुराधीशमे आश्रयामाम् पीताम्बरम् करविराजितचक्रशङ्खम् कौमोदगीसरसिजम् करुणासमुद्रम् राधासहायम् अतिसुन्दरमन्दहासम् वातालयेश मनिशम् प्रति भावयामि श्रीमल्भागवतम् when Vedavyasa Maharshi compiled, he had only one intention in his mind, as instructed by Sri Narada Maharshi. Vedavyasa Muni presented Bhagavatam to glorify Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna has been, for the last 5,000 years particularly, has given so much so much discussion among the great acharyas and the devotees that they have all accepted, irrespective of who, in which parampara or which disciplic succession they come from, that Krishna is the ultimate truth or the absolute truth, what Vedavyasa Maharshi calls in the Bhagavatam as Satyam Param Dhimahi. You'll find in the beginning, the first verse of the Bhagavatam begins with this word, Satyam Param Dhimahi. And at the end of Srimad Bhagavatam also, Vedavyasa Muni quotes the same verse, the same words again. Bhave bhave vidha bhakti padayo stava jayate tada kurushva devesha nathastvam no yata prabhom. That the Sudama Pauranikan and all the other great sages who were assembled in Naimisharanyam, at the end of the prayers, Krishna came down to see them. And at that time, Krishna had one request to the thousands of sages who were assembled in Naimisharanyam. And his asked question was, what do you expect from me? that now that you have been glorifying my activities and my pastimes for so many days, that you may have some desire in your heart. But the interesting point to see in the Bhagavatam is that these devotees who assembled in Naimisharanyam, they had no desire. Their only desire was bhave bhave yatha bhakti, that in life after life, even if we have to leave this body and accept another body, even in that body, the only desire we have is bhave bhave yatha bhakti padayo stava jayate, that our devotion to you should increase day after day. And yatha kurushva devesha nathastam no yada prabhom, that we are not very worried about taking another birth. It doesn't bother us so much. This was the reply from the sages. Because these 7 days of listening to the stories of Krishna, that has given them so much ecstasy, that they were feeling that even Brahmanandam or the absolute impersonal realization of the truth, even, is not anywhere near to the nectar of hearing about Krishna. Because hearing about Krishna has certain influence on a living entity. A Krishna conscious person, he would always like to hear more about Krishna. Because we know from our own understanding of the material world that we are put into a situation, we do not have the proper knowledge of the truth. We are in a covered state or in the influence of Maya. And in this influence of Maya, the living entity is trying to understand what is the ultimate truth. And this ultimate truth is not known by research. This is the conclusion of the Vedic literature, that research cannot provide you the knowledge about the ultimate truth. But by following the process as mentioned in the Vedic literature, one can get this truth or get this knowledge about the truth when it is revealed unto him. So this is the reason that the revealed knowledge is considered superior to the knowledge that has been researched and found out. So research knowledge, which is known as the direct perception or pratyaksham, and the knowledge which has been received through inference or anumanam, are considered to be lower levels of knowledge and realization. And that anybody can understand that if one is a little bit inclined in the spiritual direction. One who is totally on a sensual platform will find it very hard to understand this. But we will know from the Srimad Bhagavatam, when Krishna was explaining the different types of knowledge in this world, Krishna says that everything in this world is in the three modes of material nature, even the knowledge. So that knowledge which comes to us through the research work by those people who have not developed Krishna consciousness, that knowledge also is considered to be in the mode of passion and the mode of ignorance. So knowledge which comes through mode of goodness is considered to be superior than the knowledge that comes through mode of passion and ignorance. So that is why the acharyas or the great devotees of Krishna, they have developed knowledge in such a way that knowledge that they received from Krishna through their revealed knowledge from Krishna is considered to be the knowledge. Other knowledge is not considered as knowledge at all, because all the other knowledge what we achieve here through our effort is considered to be the knowledge which is likely to change. It never stays as the truth. So truth is perceived by Krishna's mercy. And that, to understand Krishna, Vedavyasa Muni gave us Srimad Bhagavatam. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, although in the first 9 cantos speak about the absolute truth and the different incarnations, when it comes to 10th canto, 90 chapters, Sri Shukan says only about Krishna, because his ultimate desire was that Parikshit Maharaj should hear about Krishna before departing from this world. You will find at the end of the 9th canto, it was more or less Bhagavatam was coming to an end, where Sri Shukan says there, Prochodhavaya paramam samagal swadhamam, that he has spoken everything and up to the end of 9th canto, and then before Sri Shukan thought that, what else should I talk to now to Parikshit Maharaj? And it was at that point that Krishna's instructions to Uddhava came into the mind of Sri Shukan, and he took it from there, and that is what it is said there, prachodhavaya paramam samagal swadhamam. That before I go back to my own planet, to Goloka Vrindavanam, Krishna wanted to instruct Uddhava about the absolute truth, about Krishna's special unique position, and how one can go back home, back to Krishna. And keeping Uddhava as the example, there in Sri Shukan talked from the 10th canto onwards, Kadido Vamshavistaram, that we will talk about that solar dynasty and the lunar dynasty, where Krishna appeared as the star of that dynasty. And we find in the lunar dynasty, when Krishna appeared, from his appearance day onwards, it was a festival in Vrindavanam and Gokulam. From the appearance day in Gokulam, the festival begins. And that festival carried on for 12 long years in Vrindavanam. So Krishna did not spend not a very long time in Gokulam and Vrindavan. At the age of 12, he decided to go to Mathura because he had other purposes for his mission. But in these 12 years of time which he spent in Gokul and Vrindavan, that particular pastimes, what he performed there, Sri Shukan has taken 45 chapters to explain that. Why did he take such a long part of Srimad Bhagavatam to explain that? And that is also, there is a specific reason behind it. That Srimad Bhagavatam talks about various incarnations. Malsyam, Kormam, Varaham, Narasimham, Vamanam, Parashuram, Balaram, Shriram also. But after, in all these different incarnations, there is not one instance where they have performed any pastimes in their childhood. Because these activities of pastimes, what Krishna has performed in his childhood, they have a special attraction for the devotee. And again, Sri Shukan says there, that if one is fortunate enough to hear these pastimes of Krishna, especially during the childhood, when what he performed in Gokulam and Vrindavan, they will automatically take the person out of this material world. This is the guarantee from Sri Shukan. And Parikshit Maharaj was the classical example of that. And therefore, these experiences, what Parikshit Maharaj listened to from Sri Shukan in the Bhagavatam, what we hear, begins from the appearance day of Krishna. Krishna appeared in this planet, and we know from the advent of Lord Krishna on the day he appeared, that how the gopis and all the inhabitants of Vrindavanam, how they celebrated the appearance of Krishna. We find that there. But you will notice one thing there, that after Krishna's appearance, Krishna's name was not given to him for a very long time. On the sixth day, Putana came to visit Krishna. Putana was killed on the sixth day. Then later on we find Shakatasura came. Shakatasura was killed. Trinavarta was killed. So many other demons who wanted to kill Krishna and they were killed by Krishna in the next few months of time. But for a long time, Krishna was not given the name. And the reason for that was that Balaram's mother, Rohini Devi, she had come to Nanda Maharaj's house and she was staying there like a refugee. Because Rohini was very much frightened of Kamsa. Kamsa was a terrific demon that he had no mercy on anyone. And Rohini, although she was Vasudeva Maharaj's wife, she decided to leave when Vasudeva was in prison. And at that point, decided to leave Mathura, and she had come to Nanda Maharaj's home, and she was living there like a refugee. Or Abhyarthini, as it is called. Now, Nanda Maharaj, although he was aware of the presence of Rohini, and Balaram was there, Balaram was not given the name game ceremony, did not happen for Balaram. Namakaranam, as it is referred to in the Bhagavatam, that this Namakaranam ceremony or giving the name is a very important ceremony in the Vedic tradition. And generally today, like in this world, what normally parents decide what name they should give it to the child when the child is born. But the Vedic system was not like that. The name was decided by the Acharya or the Purohit who actually looked after that family's spiritual interest. This was the system. But we can see also how these things have changed so much after so many thousands of years. Anyway, in that time, when Rohini was staying with Balaram in Nanda Maharaj's house, and because Balaram was not given the name, Nanda Maharaj thought that it will not be appropriate to give the name to Krishna. The reason was that Nanda Maharaj's family, the Purohit or the priest who actually gave instructions to Nanda Maharaj, was Shandilya Rishi. Shandilya Rishi was the Nanda Maharaj's priest, and Gargamuni was the priest of Vasudev. So Balaram, who was known as Vasudev's son, can be only given the name when Gargamuni visits the home. So since Gargamuni was not available, Nanda Maharaj thought about it for a while and decided to carry it on for till he finds Gargamuni and Balaram's Namakaran ceremony is performed. So it took a while, and one day when Yashoda Devi was sitting there with Krishna on the nap, Krishna was actually enjoying the milk from Yashoda Mai's breast, and at that point suddenly Krishna opened the mouth. When he opened the mouth, Yashoda Devi looked into the mouth, and suddenly she was completely perplexed by seeing what he saw inside the mouth. So this perplexed Yashoda Devi so much, Krishna looked at Yashoda Mai's face and saw the change in the face of Yashoda Devi, and he decided to bring her back into normalcy. So in other words, Yashoda Devi was so frightened, she wanted to know who this person is lying on her lap. What is his background? Because he seems to be a person which is normally different than others. So as a normal mother, she thought that let me wait some time, I will find some good astrologer to come through, pass through, and when we find him, we will ask him, who is this boy who is lying in my lap? So this question came up, and it was at that point that one day suddenly Gargamuni walked into the house. In the Srimad Bhagavatam it is said, Vasudeva Prajodidam. Vasudeva has actually arranged Gargamuni to walk into the house of Nanda Maharaj. So when Nanda Maharaj's house, when Vasudeva's instructions, Gargamuni walked in, Nanda Maharaj thought that this is a good opportunity to give the naming ceremony of both the children together. And he requested Gargamuni to do that. But Gargamuni was a little bit doubtful about it, because there were reasons behind it. That in Nanda Maharaj's house, every day was a festival, ever since Krishna appeared. This is all in the Srimad Bhagavatam, very, very elaborately explained by Sri Shukan. He says there every single day was a feast in Nanda Maharaj's house for some reason or the other. And not only that, after the appearance of Krishna, the people in the whole of Gokul and Vrindavan were feeling so ecstatic after the arrival of Krishna that they were celebrating it in some form or the other. Nanda Maharaj was not a very poor person, he was a wealthy person. And he could afford to organize a feast with a short notice. So he asked Gargamuni, that would you mind in giving the names to both these boys who are here? One of them is Vasudeva Maharaj's son, the other boy is my son. This was Nanda Maharaj's perception at that time. Gargamuni first hesitated, but when Nanda Maharaj insisted, Gargamuni agreed to do that. The reason for the hesitation was that normally when you have a name game ceremony, there will be a big feast. And in the Vedic system, a lot of brahmanas, a lot of people will be invited for this, especially in Krishna's case. And a lot of brahmanas will arrive there. And these brahmanas will have this feast. And in the next day, they will go for a feast somewhere else. This was the system, just feasting and enjoying life. And when they go to the next place, some of them may talk to each other that where was the feast yesterday. So they may say that, one of them may tell the other, oh, it was in Nanda Maharaj's home, we had the feast yesterday. So Nanda Maharaj asked him, so what was the occasion for the feast? So it's possible that somebody may say that, oh, it was the name game ceremony of Krishna. So who was the priest who performed that? Then somebody may mention that, oh, it was Gargamuni. Oh, Gargamuni, why should Gargamuni go to Nanda Maharaj's home to perform the ceremony? Gargamuni is not the priest for Nanda Maharaj, this was Chandelya Rishi. So like this, this conversation may develop and eventually it may get into the ears of Kamsa. And when Kamsa hears about that, he may get suspicious about it, and there is a strong possibility that Kamsa may send somebody to find out what happened, and that will be very damaging for Balaram. So this thought happened in Gargamuni's mind, and Gargamuni, keeping this in mind, he was hesitating to do that. When Nanda Maharaj realized that, he was also thinking in his own mind that if Balaram was given the name, without giving the names of Balaram, and Krishna was given the name, that will affect Rohini, and that will also affect Balaram, because Balaram is the elder person. And Rohini might think that because my son's father, means Vasudev, is in the prison, and that is the reason that we are not able to perform the ceremony, and that will cause some distress to them. And if there is any distress for Rohini or Balaram, that will affect Krishna also. So with all these thoughts in the mind of Nanda Maharaj, Nanda Maharaj decided to actually perform this because Gargamuni was available. So Nanda Maharaj asked Gargamuni, what should I arrange for the feast? What is actually required for the feast? So shall we organize a big feast in a level that everybody can be invited? Gargamuni said, that's exactly what I want to avoid. I don't want anybody to know about this ceremony. It has to be done extremely confidential way. So Nanda Maharaj was not totally happy about that, because this is one occasion where they get an opportunity to feed the poor people, to feed the brahmanas, and it's also an opportunity for everyone to enjoy because of the name game ceremony to Krishna. So they invited, Nanda Maharaj was instructed by Gargamuni. Nanda Maharaj was instructed by Gargamuni. Nanda Maharaj was instructed by Gargamuni that it should be done so confidential that everybody should be asked to leave the house immediately. So with that instruction from Gargamuni, Nanda Maharaj asked Yashoda Devi to get all the gopis and all the servants who were in the house to leave the home immediately. They asked Yashoda Devi, what is the reason that they have been asked to leave the house? Yashoda Devi said, I cannot answer you now at this point, but right at this moment we wanted to leave the home, and they all had to leave. So when they all left, they have decided to perform this ceremony. And normally the system is that when you perform such ceremonies, there is what's known as a purificatory ceremony first. But because there was no facilities, Nanda Maharaj was talking to Gargamuni, and Gargamuni decided that they will perform the ceremony in the cowshed along with the Goshala. In the Goshala. Goshala doesn't require purification. According to Vedic system, Goshala is always pure. Or wherever cows are maintained, the presence of the very cows itself purifies the place. Reason for that is that all the demigods are present in the cow's body. And this is one of the understanding from the Vedic system, that this particular animal cow has a special reason to be protected. Because of the presence of all the demigods in her body, the cows are supposed to be the most auspicious living entities, and with their presence there is no need for further purification. And we find in certain instances, Prabhupada has explained about this, that the cow dung, urine, everything that comes from the cow is used in purificatory ceremonies. So this was accordingly performed in the Goshala of Nanda Maharaj's home. Krishna and Balaram were brought in there. So therefore, for the name giving ceremony, there were only very few people. It was Nanda Maharaj, it was Yashoda, and Gargamuni, Krishna and Balaram. These were only five people when the name was given to Krishna. In these instances, many devotees have felt that when Krishna has been given this name, there was a series of things that happened in that Goshala. That in this atmosphere where this name-giving ceremony happened,
First of all, Balaram was brought in. Balaram was left on Gargamini's lap, and he kept very controlled and cool. He did not act and create any difficulty. And the name Rama was given to Balaram by Gargamini. But after that, Krishna was brought in. Now when Krishna was brought in, Nanda Maharaj's mind started wavering. He started thinking about what name should I give to this child. In the Bhagavatam also and in other Vedic literature, there is reference to it. It says there that Kathamastya Nama Kurvi Sahasra Namyo Ananda Namyo Va, that this child who is lying in my lap, what shall I give, what name shall I give it to him? What can I say? Because already he has thousands of names. Sahasra Namam. Kathamastya Nama Kurve. What name shall I give it to this child? Sahasra Namyo Ananda Namyo Vam. That he has got Sahasra Namam or thousands of names already. And in addition to that, he has also got so many other names which were given by different devotees at different times. In the Bhagavatam you will find in so many places he has been given new names by Sri Shukan. When he danced on Kaliya's serpent and when he came out, Krishna was given the name as Akhila Kaladi Guru because of that dancing he performed there. So like this, you will find that Krishna had so many names before. Now keeping so many things about Krishna, who Krishna is, Gargamuni was going through a big dilemma in his mind. What name should I give it to this child? And only alternative he had now left was to pray to Krishna only, to give an idea or to give some name come up in his mind so that he can offer that name to Krishna. It is mentioned there, Krishidadu nakarabhyam sattanam atmanam kilabhilagal jagadakakarshitvamma krishnanam yadidovidanul. That these two letters, why is it so important that one has to think so much about before giving a name to a person? There is reasons also for that. That sometimes we do not fully understand a person's nature. That we give a name to somebody, but that name does not fit in with the person's character. Then it's a very difficult situation. And so the acharyas know when they study a person's horoscope, they will be able to conclude that person's tendencies or traits of mind, and they will select a suitable name on that basis. So this letter, two letters, Krishna was selected after sufficient thought and consideration by Gargamuni. The two letters actually make Krish and Na, the two letters, Krishna, Sattananda Atmanam Kilabhilabal, that it actually means that it is Sachidanandam, eternal blissful and knowledge. That is what actually it means. Jagadakagarshitvam Vam. Krishna is another important feature of the word Krishna is. Krishna means all attractive. How does he attract? Because people fall into distress due to sinful activities. Krishna pulls out the sinful reactions of a person's life and purifies the person and pulls him towards Krishna. You will often hear this from devotees of Krishna, that I went to such and such a temple, I came back, but then Krishna has pulled me again to come and see him there. What is that attraction that is pulling the devotee all the time back to Krishna? Jagadagagarshitvamma kataya krishi krishna namade vyatanul. That Gargamuni said at that point, this particular person has one quality, that he will be able to release, to take out all the sinful reactions of the person from his heart and purify that person. Jagadakagarshitvamma. We have to understand from the Vedic literature that we suffer in this world through various distresses. And these distresses come to us because of our own sinful reactions. And this is something which is very difficult for a modern man to understand and to accept it. Because in our perception, happiness and destroyed is what we create. But that type of happiness, what we are searching after, is not the happiness what Vedic literatures are talking about. Our happiness, what we are looking for in this world, is sense enjoyment. And this sense enjoyment, in one time, it may look as though it is happiness, it is going to bring, invite a lot of distress and misery at a later date. So the sages were aware of this. They have classified this into Jagadagagarshitvamma Kathayakashi Krishna Namate Vetanul. That when this name was given to him, given as Krishna, the understanding was that those who were able to call him by that name will be relieved from their distress. And not only that, when this was awarded to him, Krishna actually looked at Gargamani's face. Not only that, Gargamani was a person with a long white beard. Krishna stood put his first foot into that beard, and it got completely caught up in the beard. So somehow or the other, Gargamani tried to relieve that feet from the hair or from the long beard by the time the second foot also got in. So when these two things happened, Gargamani did not know what to do with it. And at that time, Krishna was looking at Gargamani, and one of the devotees had mentioned at that point that Krishna was looking at Gargamani with only one view in the mind, that if you're not going to give me a good name, proper name, then I'm not going to provide you with the proper dakshina proper gifts later on. So anyway, Gargamani was fortunate enough that he got this name Krishna, and that was awarded to him. So as soon as the name giving ceremony was over, immediately the next system in the Vedic system is that the mother or the father will request the person to read the horoscope of the child. We are also like that. It is also like that still to some extent in the Vedic system. That when the child's name is given, the next thing they will do is they will take up the horoscope. Gargamani was he was a specialist on the Hora Shastram. Hora Shastram means Jyotisham or astrology. He was a specialist. So the time of birth, the date of birth, the star, everything was given to them. And Gargamani immediately drew up the chart of both Balaram and Krishna. And he immediately mentioned to Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda and Rohini that although these two children were born under different stars and at different times, there is a tremendous similarity between their horoscopes. And this is what was interesting, that this similarity was noticed specifically by Gargamani, and the similarity was both of them had a very long span of life. Both of them will be very, very powerful personalities, and both of them will give relief to the distress to many people in this world. So when all these things were happening, Yashoda was thinking in her mind, I don't understand this child because he is engaged in so many activities, and sometimes it's baffling me altogether, some of his activities. In this way, Yashoda Mai was thinking, and it was at that time that Gargamani revealed some more things about Krishna. Although he did not speak very much about Balaram, when he came to Krishna, he had to warn certain things to Yashoda Mai and to everybody who were present there, particularly Rohini and Nanda Maharaj. What was the warning he gave them? The warning was this: Snishyadi yastava putrahi drushyadi mukhyadi pana sapuna mai gai nashokaihi. That this particular child, Krishna, he has something very special in him. It is like this, that anybody who try to love Krishna, that he will not experience anymore the distress from this world. Now, why do we say like this? Because there is a reason behind it. If people who are a little bit thoughtful about it can understand that, we love somebody in this world with the intention of becoming happy in this world. For example, when we were children, we loved our parents. But what was the result at the end? Distress. Why? Because in their separation, we felt distress at the end. So in the beginning, we felt as happiness in association with the parents. Later on, it turned out to be a distress for us. Similarly, after the parents or when they left us, we felt that our being alone in this world is not a very comfortable or happy situation. So we accept a partner as a wife or a husband or whatever it is. And the intention was to become happy. But is anybody happy in the life in that way? I mean, if you honestly and truthfully analyze that, even in the married life, the so-called happiness is very, very limited. That it brings so much more responsibility than whatever happiness we talk about. But somehow we accept all that, what we receive through grihastha ashram or householder life, and we accept as the happiness, and we carry on with it. And later on, when the children come, that also, when any difficulties come to them, that also brings distress at the end. So in reality, most of our relationships in this material world, eventually it turns out to be not a source of happiness, rather a source of distress. But if somebody had the good fortune of developing love for Krishna, that Bhagavatam says there, and other great devotees also, that it is a different story. Snishyadi yastava putrei mukhyadi punamayikai nashokehi. That once you have developed that relationship with Krishna, once you are able to love Krishna, then you have relieved from this distress what one is experiencing from Maya. Or Maya's influence is relieved at that very point. Drishyadi yasadonashyai. But if on the other hand, if somebody decides to give trouble to this child, the next thing is that he will lose his head. This was the way the horoscope was read by Gargamani to Yashoda and Rohini. And Rohini and Yashoda, when they heard this, they realized that this person who was lying in the lap of Nanda Maharaj, lying in the lap of Gargamani, is somebody who is not a normal person. And they had very conscious of this fact all through the time when Krishna spent their time in Vrindavanam and Gokul. And we find from the Bhagavatam in these instances that Krishna wanted to give, has also got another opportunity from this, that when this particular point was mentioned by Gargamani to Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, Krishna was actually thinking that this is the opportunity for me, the first time that they have given me a license to do what I want to do. Because after the name giving ceremony was over, they will all leave. And when they've all left, all the women, all the cowherd men and the gopis will come into the house, and they will try to find out what was happening. Maybe Yashoda won't reveal everything, but eventually Yashoda had to tell them what was happening. So they will also tell, Yashoda will tell the gopis what is going on, what was happening in the Goshana. And when the gopis hear that, they will also be told that Krishna's peculiar situation, that if somebody tries to love Krishna, that they will be relieved from the influence of Maya in this world, or the distance from Maya. And somebody try to give Krishna trouble, that there is a real possibility that they will lose their head. So with this, Krishna was thinking in his mind, now by reading this horoscope, Gargamani has given me an opportunity that I could go any time to any of the houses of these gopis and do what I like later on. So in other words, this horoscope was actually a license for Krishna to continue his pastimes later on with the other gopis. So from then on, we find there that Krishna was, Krishna came out of the after the name game ceremony, Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Devi, they both gave Gargamani a lot of presents. And Krishna thought for a while in his own mind that he would like, one day he will also grow up. And when he grew up, he would like to offer a nice present to Gargamani for giving this beautiful name, Krishna. And how was this present given? It was given. How was that present given? That is also mentioned there. That when later on, when Krishna decided to give this present to Gargamani, when Krishna was decided to give this present to Gargamani, the present was given like this, that Gargamani was given that special ability to write about Krishna's pastimes with Radharani. And that was that book which later on came to be known as Garga Bhagavadam, or known as the Garga Samhita. So Garga Samhita book was specifically written by Gargamani on a special benediction from Krishna. And nobody else has been given that special mercy as Krishna has given to Gargamani. So it was after this ceremony that Krishna's name was given. And when the door was open, all the gopis walked in. And the gopis were presented about what the, how the ceremony happened in the house. And later on we find there that in the, when the friends to one day, while Krishna was sitting in the lap of Yashoda Devi, that the, he was probably 1.5 years or probably a little older than that, that Krishna was enjoying, and Yashoda Devi had all the time for Krishna to look after him. And in that relationship was so going so happily for Krishna, that Krishna enjoyed the life in Gokula with the other gopis. Gopis used to come visiting him every day. And in the Bhagavatam, while referring to this, Karal Karam Gopavadhu Janina Nidastamadamra Sarojamalavyalam Minolambabulamalasi. That Krishna was, the very touching Krishna's body was so much ecstatic for the gopis. And gopis were enjoying that, that every day as soon as they finished their work, they were in the house of Nanda Maharaj. They wanted to touch Krishna. Babadvapusparshana kaudugena. That as soon as they were able to touch the vapu or the body of Krishna, they were feeling that ecstasy. Karal karam gopavadhu janina. That they carried on moving Krishna from one hand to another. One gopi will take Krishna, another gopi immediately wanted to have Krishna in her hand. So they carried on Krishna, moving Krishna from one gopi's hand to the other. And these gopis from that day onwards, they could never leave Krishna. So in originally, gopis didn't have any clue that Krishna was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But all they knew was that the association of Krishna has given them that happiness which they have never received any time anywhere before. Bhavadva bhosparshana kaudugena karal karam gopavadhu janina nidastvama adamra sarojamalavyalam bilolam badulamalasi. That exactly like Krishna was moving from one hand to another in the gopi's hands in such a way that just like a bee goes into one lotus flower, sucks from that lotus flower the honey and goes into the next one. Exactly in the same way, Krishna was moving from one hand to another in the gopi's hands. And Krishna was sitting in the lap of Yashoda Mai. And Yashoda Mai was also feeling that ecstasy and the bliss which gopis were feeling. Nibayayandi stanamangagantvam vilogayandi vadanam hasandi. Krishna will sit in the lap and look into Yashoda Mai's face and smile. And Yashoda Mai's happiness was, which is mentioned in the Bhagavatam, vilogayandi vadanam hasandi. That Yashoda Mai continuously kept on smiling, looking at that beautiful face. And Dasham Yashodam Kadamamma Bheji. That Krishna was lifting Yashoda to such a height of ecstasy that Yashoda could not leave her any moment. And these things are there in the Srimad Bhagavatam, that we are also like them. That when a devotee comes into contact with Krishna, he also feels the same ecstasy. But unfortunately, we are not in a position to touch Krishna because we don't have that direct touching situation with Krishna. But on the other hand, touching Krishna means also touching Krishna with the mind. One can touch Krishna with the mind, and that is also considered to be touching Krishna. So although we were not fortunate like the gopis or Yashoda Devi, but we also devotees have this opportunity that as soon as Krishna's beautiful form is remembered in the heart, immediately that the remembrance of Krishna alone takes away all the distress and brings happiness to the living entity. And this is what is mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So one day, when Yashoda Mai was looking into Krishna's face, what did he see there? Krishna was actually enjoying the milk and holding on to Yashoda's hands and looking at Yashoda's face, Krishna was actually experiencing a certain amount of extreme amount of happiness. After drinking enough of milk, Krishna decided to get up from the lap of Yashoda and walk out. And he walked out because he saw all the cows lying there in the front of the house. Yashodananda Maharaj had a big house, big courtyard. And normally the cows come in the morning, they drink milk, and after drinking milk, sufficient milk, the cows and the calves, they lie down in the sun and enjoy that warm sun. This is normal. In many, many farmers' houses, you can see them still, that the cows, after they had plenty of milk to drink, they like to come and lie down in the open courtyard, enjoying the sunshine, and this is a happy situation for them. Krishna was sitting and watching all these things from Yashoda's lap. So he decided one day that he should go and touch some of these cows. So suddenly in one inspiration he saw, in one moment he went and caught hold of the tail of one small calf which was lying there. As soon as he held the tail of the calf got up completely baffled and perplexed. When the calf got up, Krishna, who was also sitting on the floor, did not leave the calf's tail, and he also got up. And not only got up, because of the perplexity, the calf started slightly running away here and there. Krishna didn't leave the tail. Krishna continued chasing along with it because he didn't leave the calf's tail. When this has happened a few occasions, Krishna said that now I don't need your tail, I can walk myself. And this was Krishna's... One and a half to two and a half years in that time. The activities what Krishna was performing, that Yashoda Mai was completely helpless. Yashoda Mai, her age, she was almost 40, 42 years old. And her body was also a little bit fat, that she could not keep up with Krishna all the time. And Krishna had so much energy and so much cute he was in his pastimes, that Yashoda Mai is finding it difficult all the time. And it was at that time, one day, that there was a special cow in Nanda Maharaj's courtyard, which was brought in from some other country. And this particular cow gave plenty of milk, and it had a calf also with it, which also was very dear to that cow. This calf was drinking milk from that particular cow, and Krishna saw this, and he could not restrict himself. He decided to go and enjoy the milk from the cow directly. He went in, and with the left hand, he pushed that cow, the calf away, who was drinking the milk from the cow. With the right hand, he was supporting himself, and he put his head to the udder of the cow. When he put his head into the udder of the cow, by chance, his beautiful hair touched the cow's body, and the cow was thinking, some new child has come to me, and he was feeling extremely ecstasy and happy with this new calf which has come to drink the milk. Krishna started drinking the milk, and the cow was showering Krishna with milk. So much milk was coming out that Krishna kept on drinking the milk, and Yashoda saw this from distance. When Yashoda saw that, she was frightened seeing this condition. With one hand holding the calf away, with another hand supporting himself, she kept calling Krishna to come out from there. But Krishna could not come out because all the hands are engaged, the mouth is engaged, he could not answer. So he started answering with his left foot, was shaking from the back. And Yashoda Devi was so much in anxiety about Krishna's condition that she decided to get him. He called him, Krishna, to come out. So many times he called Krishna to leave the place, but Krishna won't come. But on the other hand, Yashoda was thinking that if I go and take him out, maybe if the cow moves, will it not hurt Krishna? All these things was going through Yashoda's mind. This is one set of thoughts was going through. Another set of thoughts was coming through her mind, that why is he going and drinking the milk from the cow? Am I not giving him enough milk? This love was coming through in a different way in her mind. So all these different types of thoughts was going through Yashoda Mai's mind. She decided eventually that I must get Krishna out from this difficult situation. So he went up. When he went and tried to catch Krishna, Krishna jumped onto the opposite side. And in that process, the cow turned upside down, and it was a complete chaotic situation. And somehow or the other, again Yashoda Devi tried, and this time she caught hold of Krishna's leg. And Krishna's lotus feet she caught off and took him from there. And what was the situation in the Bhagavatam? It is mentioned, Shishukan says there, Pangangarangarujirav Ubaguhyadorbhyam. What it means is that Angaragam, Angaragam means it's a special preparation used for decorating the deity. In big temples, they prepare this Angaragam. Angaragam requires a lot of ingredients, and they are very, very expensive also. Very difficult to obtain them, but big temples can manage to get them. So this Angaragam, here it is mentioned as Panga Angaragam. There is no Angaragam like that. Angaragam is actually very pure, and it is very nice smell, and also it cools the body. Many, many of the great big temples and big deities, they are decorated with this Angaragam. But here Sri Shukan says there, Panga Angaraga Rujirav. Pangangaraga Rujirav, it means Angaragam which is mixed with mud. But it was not only mud. After all, it is the Supreme Personality of God and Krishna. We can't say anything about it, but you can imagine what it was, the situation. In this whole confusion, the cow has passed cow dung, and Krishna has completely got mixed up with all that. And he was standing there in that position. Yashoda Devi picked him up from there and brought her away. And with her expensive sari, probably she was wearing a Kashmir sari or something. With that, after all, she is the mother of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. And she, you cannot expect her to wear the cheap saris of this world. So anyway, Krishna was in such a situation. Yashoda Mai, without thinking anything, completely cleaned him up with her sari, and fed him with enough milk, and asked him that, do you really have to go and drink this milk from the cow? Krishna said, I will not do that again. And everything was forgotten at that very moment. And the next thing what happens is, Aisabala murare pani jana prajare kimavi bhavana bhagan bhushayando bhavando chalida jarana ganjo manju manjira shinjo shravana kuduga bhajam cheradus charu vegal. That these days, how Krishna spent at Nanda Maharaj's home, the devotee says there that you can sit and talk about it for years and years. That happiness what Krishna was giving to the birds, the animals, to the cows, to the whole family and to the gopis and to all the inhabitants of Vrindavanam, how much they were relishing that association with Krishna. This is what the difference is, that when Krishna appeared in this planet, immediately all these great devotees of Krishna, their distress is gone completely. Aisa Balamurari, along with Balaram, Krishna was moving around, all around the house. Pani Janu Prajarehi, that keeping both the hands in the front. Kimabhi Bhavana Bhagan Bhushayando Bhavando. That all in the house, their pastimes were watched, and the gopis were coming every day without any consideration. As soon as they finished their work at home, they were in Nanda Maharaj's house to watch Krishna. So this way that life continued for a long, long time. Anusaradi janogi kauduga vyagulakshe kimabhi kradani nado vyahasando dravando valida vadana balpam prishtado datta drishti kimivena vidhadade kaudugam vasudevam. That when Krishna was moving around inside the house, the happiness they were receiving from Krishna's movements. Krishna sometimes in his knees and on the forehand, he will sometimes turn his head back and look at them. And when they were looking at them, kaudugavyagulakshe, that gopis were seeing that kimabhivikadaminadam vyahasandau dravandau, that their hearts were melting seeing that beauty in front of them. Vyahasandau valila vadana balpam. Sometimes he will turn around and look back. Pushtado datta drishti, that vision was so powerful. Kimamina vidadade kaudugam vasudeva. That Vasudeva, Krishna was giving that happiness to them at every second in their life. And this way that continued. And it was then that what was happening was that this pastime moved on to the kitchen. That as soon as Krishna went with Nanda Yashoda Devi to the kitchen,
Ishwara has decided that if we leave him alone, he is going to cause problems. So best thing is to take him with her to the kitchen where she was busy in her cooking. So when she went to kitchen, Krishna also went with him. He said, oh, now I'll be alright, I'll be doing what you want me to do. This was Krishna's reaction to Yashoda. And when Krishna saw there in the kitchen that Yashoda was preparing some different dishes, and one of them was that Yashoda was trying to prepare chapatis, and they were putting in the firewood. In the fire, she was putting it in and taking it out. Krishna said he has to do the same thing. So before Yashoda could notice it, Krishna started making chapatis there. And when this activity happened, Yashoda got frightened because she thought that this child is going to burn his fingers or hand. And this completely frightened her. So she decided to take the help of Rohini Devi and asked Rohini to take Krishna away from there. But by now, Krishna has already tested the fire. So we will come to know about this later on, that why all these different pastimes have its own significance. That when Krishna left this, Rohini called Krishna away from Yashoda, and Krishna went there where Rohini was engaged in cutting the vegetables. So Krishna immediately saw there was a knife lying next to Rohini. He immediately picked that knife up. And the way he took that knife was, he started holding on to the sharp end of the knife. And Rohini asked Krishna to give the knife back, but Krishna won't give the knife back. Krishna kept it with him. And the more she asked, he will hold on to it very tight. And this incident happened, and Rohini got frightened that now it is going to cause another problem, whether it will cut his fingers. So she called Yashoda there, and Rohini said to Yashoda that, look at this, your son has no brain. Look at him where he is holding on to the knife, he said. So Yashoda said, why do you say like that? Rohini said, look, will anybody hold the knife by the sharp end like this, by the way he is holding the knife? Krishna was almost in tears, and with full of anger, Krishna threw that knife away from there. But one thing Krishna did, when he threw the knife, he didn't throw it on anybody, he threw it on a place as nobody was there. So when this happened, this was a tactic Rohini has used to get the knife out of Krishna's hands. Rohini immediately picked up Krishna and said to Yashoda, do you know something? She said to Yashoda, that although he is your son, he loves me much more than you, she said to Yashoda. Yashoda said, what is the proof for that? Rohini said, look at this proof. See, if it was somebody else, another boy of this age, if you had told him that you have no brain, he is useless, he would have thrown the knife at you. But look where he has thrown the knife, he has thrown away from me. And because he loves me so much. And this way, Rohini and Yashoda and all others enjoyed the association of Krishna for a very, very long time. But why is this, devotee says that, why is these pastimes important? Because Krishna was actually experimenting certain things, what he has spoken to Arjuna later on in the Bhagavad Gita. You will find there, spirit soul cannot be burned by fire. Spirit soul cannot be cut by knife. In the Bhagavad Gita, we'll find these words. So, all that what was happening later on, what Krishna has spoken, he has tested them in his early days in these childhood pastimes. That spirit soul cannot be cut. And Krishna's body, unlike ours, is pure spirit. And it cannot be burned by fire, it can be cut by knife. So like this, so many different pastimes from Krishna has elaborating to us that spirit soul is much more superior and it is transcendental to the matter. And Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is Satchidananda, absolute truth. He is full of eternity, full of bliss and full of knowledge. And Krishna's body is Satchidananda. It's not like our body made of material elements. It is spiritual body. And that spiritual body's nature is demonstrated through all these different pastimes. So we'll stop. If there's any questions or comments, if we could. Yeah. there is so that pastime, it goes on for a very, very long time. It will take a long time to explain that, this whole incidence of Krishna's childhood pastimes. Krishna's childhood pastimes, in no other, not even Lord Ramchandra has given the beautiful pastimes what Krishna has given us. And there is a specific reason behind it, that these pastimes, if one starts enjoying, this is the best meditation on Krishna. We try very hard to remember Krishna, but it is not possible to remember Krishna like that. But Kapila Vasudev, you will see in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, he says there that the best way to meditate on Krishna is to remember Krishna through these pastimes. Because these pastimes have got this special potency that it will, when it is properly presented, it will attract the heart of every devotee. It has that special potency. That and in addition to all these things, that all these different pastimes mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam, devotees have recited in front of Krishna later on, in later years. And in all these instances, Krishna wanted to hear these childhood pastimes again and again. And there is proof for that. That in some instances, when some devotees were glorifying Krishna about these childhood pastimes, someone, in many instances, there are so many instances, many, many verses were written in discussion with Krishna, how these childhood pastimes were performed. One instance, one of the great commentators of Srimad Bhagavatam, this is only one instance, we don't have so much time to talk, but I will just mention this, that in one instance, when one devotee who was remembering Krishna's, these childhood pastimes, and glorifying Krishna through these pastimes, Krishna got up and asked the devotee, that why do you call me all the time, that I have gone begging to these gopis, he said. Mama ghalu baligehe yajanam jadamastam iha purana balanam agrado naiva guruvan. Devotee asked Krishna that this begging is not a new thing for you. These gopis were very nice people. Why did you go and give them all this trouble? This was the question from this devotee to Krishna. You could have asked them for butter or milk or ghee or whatever you wanted. They would have given you enough. There was no need for you to go and give them all this sort of trouble. But you have given them so much problem. Are they not good people? Why did you give all this trouble to them? So Krishna asked the devotee, that you are telling me that I should go and beg from these women all these things? No, no, you won't expect me to do that. Devotee asked Krishna, have you not begged before in your life? Krishna said, no, I have not begged any time. He said, who went to Mahabali asking for 3 feet of land? He asked Krishna. And Krishna said, he had no answer to do that. He said, oh, begging from Mahabali is different. Because Mahabali was the emperor of the whole universe. He was managing at that time. And it is something very, very nice. It is an honor actually to beg from Mahabali. But to beg from these gopis here in Vrindavanam is not a real honor. This was Krishna's answer. But it is said there, Mama galu bhaligehe yajanam jadamastam iha purana balanam agrado naiva kurvan idi vihitam adikim deva sandinjayajnam dadikrita maharastvam charuna choraninam. That what did Krishna do? By doing all these different pastimes, he had actually stolen the heart of the gopis. And with that, gopis have never felt any time after that to forget Krishna. And that attachment which grew day after day is in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Few things, yes. Few things are substantiated. For example, that you know this, there is a verse in the Bhagavad Gita which says there, Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam has a lot of connections, lot of relationships. Krishna has not spoken anything what he has not spoken to Arjuna to anybody else. What he has spoken to Arjuna, exactly the same thing he spoke to Uddhava also, later date. There's nothing different in there. The if you closely observe what Krishna has instructed Arjuna and Uddhava is very much the same. But the difference comes in that keeping Uddhava as the in the forefront,
Krishna was trying to tell us, the people who are coming in the future, that this is the process you follow, bhakti process. And this is, he elaborated that to Uddhava a lot more than what is not done in the Bhagavad Gita. Now, coming down to Prahlad Maharaj, you will see a verse in the Bhagavad Gita that it is mentioned there. Paraspara anukathanam, that devotees will discuss each other about Krishna and they will relish that. Yeah. Bhodayanda parasparam tushyandija ramandijam, that they will be able to discuss Krishna and they will enjoy that, and by doing that they will be relieved from the distress. This particular incident, Krishna, it is not Krishna's. It is, he got this from Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj is the originator of this conception. What did he say? Prahlad says there, if you see Prahlad's study, Prahlada's glorification of Krishna in the Narasimhadeva appearance, yeah, Prahlad is saying there that devotees, if they want to become free from all the anarthas, they have to do only one thing. Devotees have to do only one thing, that they should sit together and discuss about Krishna. And Krishna has that potency to take all the anarthas away from their heart. And that verse, Krishna, that idea, what Krishna received from Prahlad, he kept it in his heart and he put it in the Bhagavad Gita. So that verse is coming from Prahlad Maharaj. Yeah. So like this, there are so many things. Also, when Krishna's performed this pastimes with the gopis, there are so many incidents which happen, which are in the Bhagavad Gita in a very covered way mentioned. But everything what Krishna has instructed to Arjuna, all this is from the practical experience. Krishna has demonstrated that in different instances. Krishna is known as Yogeshwara, the master of all mystic powers. We cannot, with our limited mind and limited knowledge, can understand Krishna. We can only understand a glimpse of Krishna when Krishna reveals something to us through the devotees and through the scriptures and through Srimad Bhagavatam. Otherwise it is difficult to understand Krishna. Our calculations doesn't work, add up properly with Krishna. So that's the important thing. I think we'll stop there. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.